Abby and the worship band for playing that last piece in particular, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy. The inspiration for that song, no doubt coming from our text this morning in Mark chapter 10 in the story of the blind beggar. If you're with us just coming back for the season, we've been going through the book of Mark together. This is our 15th week already this morning in our series, Mark and the Master. And beginning in chapter 11 and for the next five chapters of Mark, we'll be focusing on the Passion Week, the 7 days leading up to and culminating in the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. And following that, chapter 16, which explains the rising again from the dead of Jesus, his appearing to his followers on multiple occasions, and his final ascension into heaven before at least 500 to sit at the right hand of God the Father. But now I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, because today we complete chapter 10 this morning, examining the seven final verses of that chapter, which really pack a punch. And typically, as you know, we've had to kind of speed through the book of Mark, so much content in such a short period of time together. But today we'll actually spend about 5 minutes per verse here in a story familiar to so many of us, the miraculous account of a man who is healed by the Lord from blindness. And so this morning's message I've called Jesus the Visible. Jesus the Visible. And this story of Bartimaeus arguably can be found in Matthew 20 and also in Luke 18, but obviously our focus today is within Mark's account here in chapter 10, beginning in verse 46. The setting of this true story is, of course, the city of Jericho. Now, as you may know, Jericho was destroyed by the Israelites, which is described in Joshua chapter 6. You want to read about it? It's a quick read. Just go back to the book of Joshua chapter 6 in the Old Testament, and you can read how God divinely led his people to conquer and destroy that city. Interestingly enough, so much time later, in the days of Jesus, Jericho, of course, was rebuilt by Herod the Great, known as the great master builder or architect of his day. And why would he rebuild Jericho? Well, he decided he wanted a winter palace, and it had become a very popular resort city. Near the Jordan River, about 18 miles northeast of Jerusalem. Historians describe Jericho in that day as the most trafficked location on all of the planet, not only for trade, but also for travel, and finally for the movement of troops, as you would find Europe to the north and Africa to the south. It seemed that everyone needed to pass through Jericho. And now Jesus himself will pass through this city as well. Verse 46 begins, "Then they came to Jericho. And as Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road." Okay, so enter kind of the focus of our story this morning, blind Bartimaeus. And if you're using your notes today, I encourage you to write that down. It's very significant that he was blind. It really creates the tension of the story and the whole reason we study this account. It's why I believe the Lord included it in his word in the pages of Scripture, the fact that Bartimaeus was blind. Now, of course, commentators will tell us that the name Bartimaeus had an actual defined meaning. It meant son of uncleanliness, or in a more guttural sense, son of filth. So how would you like it if your mom called you for dinner? "Hey, son of filth, dinner. Son of filth." Suddenly washing your hands takes on a whole new meaning. "Wash your hands before dinner, son of filth." So not exactly personally encouraging for your name, not exactly something that kind of helps your self-image, self-esteem, but there it was. And so the religious culture of that day believed that blindness was a curse of God because of a great sin in your life. And I'm so thankful to God that today we would not hold that view at all. And God bless those who are blind or are facing blindness. My own grandfather who went blind later in his life. And thank God for, you know, Braille Society and other organizations that seek to provide relief and help for this serious malady. So the prevailing attitude of the day was that Bartimaeus had gotten what he deserved. And I think that's so sad to think that any of us before God would get what we deserve. Is there anybody here who wants to get from God what they deserve? I don't. And the Bible tells us we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of our sin is death. So in the culture of this day, again, this was considered a great punishment. And that's significant because it means that Bartimaeus would not have received a lot of mercy. He would not have received a lot of grace. It would have been kind of like, yeah, you should have seen that coming, so to speak. And so he was blind. Well, verse 47 explains that a beggar begs. That's what beggars do. And this, of course, is what Bartimaeus did. He did it to survive. And it says in verse 47, when Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Interestingly enough, his blindness had determined his future, a life of begging and subjugation. I really am not sure what was worse. The fact that he was utterly blind or the subsequent position which it had put him in life. I think it was really a 1-2 knockdown punch in Bartimaeus' life. And so he cries, "Jesus, Son of David." And those are very important words because when he says, "Son of David," what he's really doing is he is acknowledging Jesus' true identity as the coming Messiah. We know that prophecy recorded in the Bible told us thousands of years before Christ came on the scene on planet Earth that the Messiah would descend from the house and lineage of King David. You can read those prophecies in Isaiah chapter 9, again in Isaiah chapter 11, and in Jeremiah chapter 23. And so Bartimaeus is saying, "Jesus, Messiah, have mercy on me." Now, as he is begging, I think verse 48 tells us that he was burdened and he was berated. What a horrible combination. Many were sternly telling Bartimaeus to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." In other words, "Bartimaeus, shut up. Quit making a scene. You're embarrassing all of us. This is an important moment. The crowd's coming through. They're interested in what Jesus is doing." And suddenly Bartimaeus breaks in. And he's just an embarrassment, frankly. And I think what they're saying to him is, "Bartimaeus, just accept your miserable lot in life and shut up. Close your pie hole and sit down and stop it." And of course, Bartimaeus's response is to make an even bigger scene. I think if there's anything you learn how to do when you're a beggar, it's how to beg really well. And it seems like Bartimaeus had mastered that. And I think he gives us a wonderful model of how to cry out to God. Maybe, just maybe, when it's time to cry out to God in life, we shouldn't be so conservative. We shouldn't be so half on, half off. Maybe we ought to just let it out and really cry out to him like Bartimaeus did. And I see three aspects of the way Bartimaeus cried out to the Lord. He did it with determination, didn't he? Because he didn't quit when everyone told him to stop. That's a lot of peer pressure, but he didn't cave. He did it with determination. He also cried out to the Lord in humility. acknowledging him, Son of David, have mercy on me. Notice he didn't blame the Lord for his condition. He didn't say, God, you are the one who let me get into this mess. Wouldn't you do something about it? I don't detect a bitter spirit in him. He came humbly to the Lord, crying out for help. And he also did it with great hope because he didn't quit calling out. You know, it would be so easy if I had lost my sight, or perhaps extrapolate that into any other serious, dire condition of life. It would be so easy to sort of just feel sorry for yourself and to give up and to say, what's the use? No one can help me. God doesn't care about me. Nobody's here for me. This is just going to be it. But you see, Bartimaeus had great hope. And I can tell he did because he didn't quit crying out to God, because he's the living God. And so we read in Psalm 145:8, the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and great in loving kindness. And my friends, this morning in this little story in just 7 verses, we're about to see how great the Lord is in mercy and in loving kindness and in care when we cry out to him. When you're down, you have nothing to lose and everything to gain when you call out to God. When you're down, you have nothing to lose and everything to gain when you call out to God. And so we see in verse 49, you know, Bartimaeus is still calling out. And now we see Jesus beckons. He beckons. And this is remarkable. I mean, it's a very busy place. There's a lot of commotion. He's just leaving town. And what does it say? It says, Jesus stopped and said, call him here. You know, there have been times in my life where I wasn't sure the Lord heard me when I was calling out to him, where I didn't know if God was listening or if he, frankly, sadly, if he even cared. And what we see here is that the Lord's listening. And the Lord's interested, and the Lord cares when we're down. Our job is to call out to him and to wait for his response. And Jesus stopped and said, call him here. So they called the blind man, saying to him, take courage, stand up. He is calling for you. Notice the shift of public opinion. It's going from shut up and sit down to stand up, go over. I would like to submit to you that no one knows what you're going through except you and your God. But God knew. God knew. And if there's anybody who understands suffering, it's our Lord Jesus. You don't have to explain it to him. You don't have to give him the details. He already knows what it feels like to suffer. He suffered for you. He suffered for me on the cross. And he did it because he loves us. So Jesus beckoned blind Bartimaeus. And I think it's interesting here that there's a great contrast as we see Bartimaeus now responding to Jesus calling him by standing up, throwing off his cloak, and running to the Lord, sort of stumbling in the dark. And no doubt his cloak had to be one of his very few possessions that he had. He might have had a cloak and perhaps maybe a small cup or some type of leather satchel to collect coins in as he begged. And he just throws the cloak aside and through the dark stumbles to the Lord. Now, just 23 verses earlier, here in the same chapter 10 of Mark, if you were with us, you know that we looked at the rich young ruler who also came to the Lord, who had so much, and yet he would not set it aside to come to the Lord. And yet Bartimaeus does. And the thing I must conclude from this great contrast within the same chapter, no mistake, it's so closely positioned together, is that it is far easier for the one with affliction to come to the Lord than the one who is living a life of ease and abundance. No wonder Jesus said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Because you got to be willing to give it up to follow him. to follow him. Because the Lord offers us a new way of life, a new way of life. And I think that's why so many times many of us come to know the Lord and give our life to follow him through a down time in our life, rather than when the sun's shining and the birds are singing. Well, regardless of the season you're in, my friend, the fact remains the Lord's waiting for you. He loves you, and if he's passing through your life today, don't let him go. Call out to him. Reach out for him and respond to him. Say yes to him. He'll change your life. We see in verses 50 and 51 that Bart believes. He believes in the Lord. Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus, verse 51. And answering him, Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" Kind of a ridiculous question, isn't it? Except that the Lord had a reason for asking it, didn't he? He wanted to hear Bartimaeus say it. To say it. And so he did. And Bartimaeus said to him, "Rabboni," which of course means teacher, "I want to regain my sight." So we know that at one point in his life, Bartimaeus could see. Now he could no longer see, and he's longing to be able to see again. And so to believe or not to believe in the Lord, that is the question. And everyone must decide for themselves. Bartimaeus decided to believe. And he acknowledges Jesus for who he is, and he obviously does not care at all what anybody else thinks. He simply asked earnestly for God's help. Well, verse 52 says that Bartimaeus is blessed big time. You're not just blessed a little bit, it's revolutionary. And Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately, he regained his sight and began following Jesus on the road. And there you have it. Jesus just gave him his sight. Bartimaeus was treated with unmerited favor. Now, it's interesting that the Old Testament prophesied that the Messiah would do this kind of thing. In Isaiah 29:18, "And out of their gloom and darkness, the eyes of the blind will see." Isaiah 35, verses 4 and 5, "The recompense of God will come, but he will save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened." Isaiah 42, verses 6 and 7, "And I will appoint you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations, to open blind eyes." So the Lord is fulfilling great prophecy here in multiple places in Scripture. And this tells us that Jesus is our source for healing, for help, for restoration in our lives. So when you get hung up in life, my friend, go to the source. You know, something the Lord's been reteaching my wife and I lately is that complaining does absolutely no good. You know, it's so easy to gripe. It's so easy to say, it's not fair. It's not right. And you know what? You're right. It's not. It's disappointing, it's discouraging, it's tough. Sometimes it's frustrating. Sometimes you just want to kind of clock somebody. It doesn't really do any good. But you know what you can do? You can go to the Lord about it. You can pray about it. You can say, "God, I need your help." And that's what Bartimaeus did. And so Bartimaeus experienced Psalm 103. Where it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits." So I'd like to ask you this morning, as we've gone through this brief encounter the Lord had with a guy by the name of Bartimaeus, no longer blind Bartimaeus, now joyful Bartimaeus, how impactful was this man's encounter with the Lord? A few thoughts. First, we see in the text that Bartimaeus went from surviving to living, just like that. And you know, we all know many people who are just surviving in life. It's not a stretch at all to say that Bartimaeus, before he met the Lord, was just surviving. He was just there alone in the darkness, just begging for funds so he could make it another day. No doubt sleeping in his cloak by the side of the road. And his physical appearance had now reflected what his name meant, son of filth. I don't think he had any friends. I think his family abandoned him, and he's just there trying to make it through another day. I call that surviving. But you see, what Jesus Christ offers us is living. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it to the fullest. How many of us know somebody, a family member, a friend, a neighbor, a work associate, school associate, who's just surviving? That's no way to live. But you see, the Lord offers us life. And that's what Jesus gave Bartimaeus. He gave him his life back. That's what he did. And I would argue today that when you're dead to God, when you don't know Jesus in your life personally, you're just surviving. I don't care what you own. I don't care what kind of vacation you go on. I don't care what you do for a living and who your friends are. Without Jesus, you're just surviving. Because the Bible says you're dead spiritually. But the Lord came to heal you so you could become alive spiritually to God. That's what you and I were created to be. We were created originally to have spiritual sight. But the Bible says we're born blind in our sins spiritually because we're spiritually dead. And that's why coming to know Jesus is so important. It's when you're born again spiritually. So Bartimaeus went from surviving to living. He also went from begging to giving. And there's no evidence in the text at all that he went back over to the side of the road, picked up his little receptacle again, and started begging for help and faked that he was blind. Oh, help me, with his eyes shut. He followed Jesus. He was living his new life. Believer, listen to me. Listen to me. Believer, listen to me. Are you living your new life, or are you still living like the world, faking it that you're blind when now you can see? Live your new life for Jesus Christ. Let go of the old life of begging in this world. Get out of the filth and live your new life in Jesus Christ and follow him. He's the light of the world. Jesus heals the beggar. And the Bible says we're all beggars. It says God is no respecter of persons but accepts men from every nation. And God had changed this man's position in life. He remade his very identity, and that's what he wants to do for me and for you. Lastly, Bartimaeus, of course, went from darkness to light. And this, of course, is a physical reality. He was healed of blindness. Darkness, of course, by definition, is the absence of light. The absence of light. And I really believe the first thing Bartimaeus saw when he was healed was he was looking right into the face of Jesus. Isn't that remarkable? He saw light looking back at him. I would suggest to you this morning that the story of Bartimaeus tells us something. It tells us that our condition defines us. Our condition defines us. Bartimaeus's very life existence was defined by his condition. He had no other options. He was a blind beggar. But you see, he had a life-changing experience with the Lord, and now his life would never be the same. See, Jesus does not simply offer us the forgiveness of our sins, as important and vital as that is. Jesus offers us the forgiveness of our sins and a life that is new. And so when you're sick and tired of the darkness, you cry out to the Lord and he gives you light. So let me ask you, what is it that defines your life? What is it that defines you? For some, it's money. For some, it's their power and prestige. For some, it's an addiction that they've grown accustomed to and even enjoy. For some, it's fear that defines their life. For some, it's a brokenness in their spirit. Come to Jesus. Call out to him, and he will meet you where you are.
and he will redefine your life. Let Jesus Christ define you. He's the only light in a very, very dark world. See, only Jesus redeems and restores. And in fact, this is precisely why he came, to redeem and restore us to life. Hebrews 7 says, Jesus is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him. And we're all in need of the Lord's healing. And we can't pay for what we need. I can just picture myself in my mind's eye sitting in my dirt by the side of the road when I called out to Jesus and said, Lord, save me. And he did. Not because I deserved it, not because I earned it, not because I was something special, because he loved me and he thought I was special. And he thinks you're special too, because he made you, because he created you, and because he longs for you to have true life. Not being defined by your sin on the side of the road. But here's the rub, and this is really where the text leads us this morning in conclusion. The rub is this: a blind world must want to see. A blind world must want to see. We know that Bartimaeus wanted it. He wanted a new lease on life. But many people like their life of sin. And you see, you can't have it both ways. Light and dark don't work together. It's one or the other. And it's up to each of us to decide what we want. So many are blind in our world to really see Jesus for all that he truly is. 2 Corinthians 4 tells us, and even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the god of this world, the devil, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. See, the Bible tells us that we're spiritually blind in life, and we need the Lord to open our eyes spiritually, so to speak. It's a funny thing. We tend to think that Jesus is sort of hiding from us, you know. He's off in the shadows somewhere. He says, surprise, I'm over here. But you know, the Bible says it's just like in Jericho. He's walking down the main road of your life. All you got to do is pay attention for him. That's all you got to do. And if he's passing by in your life today, I hope you'll say yes to him. Many are so blind, blinded by their sin, and they're living in the dark. So Psalm 19:1 says, the heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. The Bible says, all creation declares there is a God. And as a kid, I even realized it. I knew there had to be a creator to all this. It just works so well. And if there is a God, how hard is it to believe that he sent his son to rescue us? Even I could tell as a child, this world is messed up and we need a solution. So Romans 1:20 says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through all that has been made, so that men have no excuse. One day, the Bible says, none of us will have an excuse for our spiritual blindness, because God is evidenced in the world he created. And so for those of us who know the Lord Jesus and who long for those we know who are still spiritually blind to come to the light, to see Christ in their life and say yes to him, we're given an instruction in the Bible, and that is to walk in the light and shine bright. And you see, when you walk in the light, when you walk with Jesus in life, you will start to reflect him like the moon reflects the sun. And his light will bounce off of you. And you will be, as he says, a light to the world. It leads us to our takeout verse of the week in closing today, John 8:12. It's on a little card in the lobby for you. You can pick one up as you leave today on the tables in the lobby. And John 8:12, Jesus said this, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So there you have it, the secret. Walk with the Lord Jesus, and you'll reflect him, and you'll have the light of life guiding your life. I think these words of Jesus are tangibly demonstrated in the life of Bartimaeus through our story this morning, because when he saw the Lord, he instantly began to follow him. He's a living, breathing example of what Jesus states here in Scripture. The true healing comes into our lives as we begin to see Jesus clearly for all that he is. Would you bow with me? We'll pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful you didn't leave us in the dark. And God, forgive us for thinking that you've abandoned us, that you're far off and distant when it's simply not true. You sent your Son to come and live among us, and you've left your Holy Spirit brooding over this world, seeking to win as many as possible to you before the end and your Son returns. And so our hearts go out today for those we know who don't yet know you. And so, Lord, we pray that you would touch and heal them, that you would give them spiritual sight, that, Lord, you would use whatever means necessary to bring them to the place where they would long to be in your light. And, Lord, we pray as well that you would help us, those of us who believe in you, to walk in your light, so that we would reflect you to them. Lord, this is why you've healed us, to walk with you. And we pray you would help us to do exactly that. Lord, today we lift up to those to you that we love. And we ask, Lord, that you would reach and save them and call them with a holy calling and bless them that they would be restored to sight with you. Now, if you're listening to my voice and you're not sure you've ever invited Jesus in your life, or maybe you've been coming to church for years, but you're not quite sure where you stand with the Lord, you can be sure right now. You can pray and accept the Lord in your life right now. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. You can talk to the God and you can settle it, or you can use this prayer to recommit your life to the Lord. So if you need to come to the Lord today and make sure you've given your life to him, you can tell him right now you believe in him, you believe he died for you, you believe he rose again from the dead for you, you want to ask him to forgive you of your sins and tell him you're going to follow him in life. If you're ready to do that, I'm just going to lead you right now, and he's listening. You can settle it right now. Just say, "Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. I believe you're God's only Son, that you died for my sins on the cross, and that you rose from the dead so I can live with you forever in heaven. Thank you for dying for me. Please forgive me of everything right now and come into my life. I'm willing to turn from my old ways to live for you." And Lord, whether we did that today or whether we've done that in our past, we just say thank you so much. You're the one who makes the whole difference in our lives. You are the one who redefines us. And today we praise and thank you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, God bless you. Would you stand with me? We'll close in a prayer. As you're standing, just remind you that members of our prayer team are going to be right here in the front. We'd love to pray with you. Maybe you have a concern on your heart today for somebody you love, a situation you're concerned for. Just come on up at the end of service. We'll pray with you. Don't ever leave church with a load. Just kind of dump it with the Lord and then watch what he'll do with it, okay? Hang around, meet somebody new in the family room. And God bless you for being with us today. Now, may God bless you. May God keep you. May God make his face shine on you. May God be generous to you. May God give you his peace. And may you find in him the life you've longed for, the purpose and the fulfillment for which he created you, and the joy and the knowledge of walking with him. Amen.